My goodness, it's the first day we get to share the gospel hut to hut. I can hardly wait. This church is out in the boonies. We're having to walk to the church site. My goodness. Just got to make sure we avoid any mud. There we go. Oh. Church. First time we're setting foot in this church building. That's great. My goodness. And I can hardly wait. I'm excited, but I'm a little apprehensive as well. I'm waiting here. We're all waiting here to get our translators. And let me think. See, I've got my Bible. I've got tracts. I've got a hat, snacks. I think I'm ready to go. I think everything's ready to go. So just waiting to get my translator. We're off to share the wonderful gospel of Christ. Oh, they're about ready. What if I forget my good news, bad news? I know, I can read from the tract. Uh-oh. Let's watch a video.
It's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet. Here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree. Here I am, Lord, send me.
How much?
everything with all my dreams, with all my hopes, how I love you. You can have it all. You can have it all.
A grand adventure since 1998. So this is our typical trip report, something we do every time we come back. Next slide, please. You can go another one as well, Steve. We've been involved in East Africa ministries in a number of ways. You can see those here. We've been doing church planting, evangelism, and discipleship, which is what the team that has just returned was busy doing. We've also been quite involved in the Luanda Children's Home. That children's home was birthed here at Grace. That's the name, Grace International Children's Foundation. We've also been involved in Covenant Bible Institute of Theology, helping the Bible school along the way with teaching, with books, and a number of other things. The I Choose You Ministry, where we take kids off the street and give them a home and a place to and a food and shelter. The medical clinics and outreach, we've mostly been involved with those through Luanda, then primary schools, and then water wells and hygiene. You see, we were able to put up a water well this year. So our fingers are in a number of places. God has opened up doors to us in a number of ways, and we're just very appreciative of that. Next slide, please. We've been working with Morse and Ida Oginga in Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda since 1998, which was our first exploratory visit there to see if this was a thing Grace wanted us to do, God wanted Grace to do, and we've been doing it for 24 years now, so I guess it's stuck. Early on, we were planning sometimes one or two churches a year. Then we sort of went to one church a year as things got lean for Grace. And then next slide. We eventually in 2010, we started doing once every 2 years because of finances and a number of other things. But God still blessed both our brothers and sisters in Africa and we ourselves. As you can see down there, 2022, that's this year, Obugaran, Uganda, that was the 23rd church that Grace has planted in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. So 24 years planning, 23 years planting churches. It basically ends up being a church a year. So God has been very gracious to us to allow us to be part of that. Next slide, please. Just some general info about the trip itself. The Bunanimi and Oboragon church plants were completed during this trip. The trip was from June 2nd to June 14th, so 12 days including travel. We had two groups join the team, one from Grace and then one from Cross Connections Church, which has gone with us before. We did Hittite evangelism, school evangelism, prison evangelism, and evening crusades every evening. And we were able to go by and look at the Luanda Children's Home, the Bible College, the eucalyptus tree farm, which is quite exciting, really, and the water well. Went and looked at the water well, too. And you'll see pictures of these as we go. Next slide. So our main goal, our main theme, of course, was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the community. We had four goals, four things that we were hoping to do this year. One is to complete the church plant at Bunanimi, which was originally built in 2020. But as you all know, because of COVID, we were not able to go. Then complete the church plant at Aburagan. That's a brand new church plant this year. Install a water well at Bunanimi. And then run a youth conference in the Imbali area. So all of those things were things we had hoped to accomplish. I'm going to ask the team, those who are going to be doing some interviews, ask the team to come up and join us on stage. You're going to hear directly from them instead of me what their thoughts and hopes and ambitions were. Thank you.
Well, good morning. We're lacking two individuals. Greg and Sherry Brown got sick after they got back. They were fine on the trip, but they got sick at the very end, so they're not with us this morning. But I'm sure they're probably watching online or they'll be watching the next service. As you looked at the slideshow, one thing you'll notice is there were no pictures of the prison ministry. All of us went to the prisons, and that was really a highlight for me. It was amazing the response we got from inmates, but they don't let you take pictures. So that's the only reason we don't have a whole bunch of pictures up here of inmates responding to the gospel. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask different individuals here. In fact, I'm going to nail everybody, I think. Just a few things about the trip that were special to them. And as you might have noticed, some of them are oldies but goodies. This is my third trip to Uganda. My wife has been there to Tanzania and to Kenya. Keith has been there numerous times, mainly to Kenya, I think. And Scott and Pam have been there far more times than I have. But we did have some newbies. And that was represented on this side over here, Jeanette, Alyssa, and Sam. It was their first time, as well as Greg and Sherry, who aren't here. So I would be asking them a lot of questions if they were here. So if you guys are watching, you got away with it. So I'm going to ask some general questions. You're starting with Sam. Sam, what did you experience that surprised you the most about this mission trip?
Probably just seeing the ministry. It was sort of hard for us to leave our daughter behind and just sort of go to somewhere new. This was our first time out of the country, and I think just what really surprised us was just how amazing the ministry was of just seeing the church planted and seeing everything, because we couldn't go to Bunanimi because of COVID, and getting to see that firsthand before we even got to see the church that we were going to go evangelize in that village. I think that was amazing to just see the community and everything.
Okay. Alyssa, what surprised you most about the trip?
I think for me was the relationships. I didn't really expect that. And I mean, like, as far as the team, the relationships with the translators, like, you're really coming together and just focusing on one thing, and that's sharing the good news. And you have one mindset and one mission. And I'm kind of an introverted person, so to be in fellowship with everybody every day was different, but it was so life-giving, and you could really see just like Christ working through each of us and all the gifts that he like gave each of us, and just to see everybody just being who they were in Christ, and just the relationships was what surprised me the most.
Okay, it sounds like what you're saying is an introvert can actually succeed in this ministry.
Yes.
So if somebody's out here, if somebody's out here who feels like I'm not a talker, I don't feel comfortable in front of people, that's not a problem out there, is it?
No, not at all.
Okay, there you go. That kills an excuse for a lot of folks. Now we're going to go to a person who's definitely not an introvert. Jeanette, what surprised you the most, or did anything surprise you?
Well, I just thought how loving the people were. I mean, they gawk at you, they stare at all the Muzungu that were there, but they just love on you. They just want to hear what you have to say. And they were so receptive. I mean, I think because we live in a society where there's so many things distracting us, there's so many things that we have, right? And so that really distracts us. But for them, they literally have nothing. I mean, nothing. The people that had the most resistance were the shopkeepers that thought they had everything. But when I look at it, I'm like, compared to what we have, what they have, I'm just thinking, this is rubbish. You know, like all that you do, all that you can offer up to God is nothing in comparison. And I was just blown away about how receptive they were. As soon as you present the gospel and you just ask if they would trust in Jesus, they're like, yeah.
I think that's the thing it's the most pleasant and enjoyable about the trip. You can walk into a town. They dropped me and several of us in the middle of a town in front of a shop. Three guys were there. My translator said this American Muzungu would like to talk to you. Three turned into five, then 10, then 15, then 20, then 25. You're surrounded by a mob of people, all of them wanting to respond to the gospel. And then when you pull out tracks, the hands are going at you like this, wanting a gospel track. I moved 10 feet away, and again, it happened again because a couple of people showed up late. So before you know it, 5, 10, 15, 20 people. And then a guy wants me to go to his house, and he goes and tells all of his neighbors and relatives, and they just keep piling up. It's amazing the response to the gospel, and that's, I think, the most surprising thing, is there are people out there that really want to hear the good news. Pam? Or I'm sorry, Brenda?
Hello.
I'm in trouble. It's a good thing it's Father's Day.
You're forgiven. I think, you know, just to talk about what Dave just said, I think what was so surprising is that the people were so receptive. I mean, they just, you know, when I went hut to hut, the people just really wanted to ask questions about the Lord. So I felt like I had a really wonderful time just having intimate personal conversations with people that I met. And they were really wanting to go deeper with the Lord. So to me, that was just very encouraging. And I also got to go to with Mama Ida to a woman's house to do a Bible study. And I was very encouraged by the ladies really wanting to go deeper in the Word and know more about Him. So for me, being in Uganda, it just felt like the Lord had just prepared the way for us. And we were just there to be used by Him. And the people were so receptive. So.
And I have to think some of that was your prayers. That's why it's so
absolutely
important to pray for us, because we ran into people just waiting for us.
Yes.
Now, Pam.
I think for me, when I watched the PowerPoint and I saw their faces, not only are they very welcoming, but I realized how much I love them, how much God comes into my heart. And when we go to like women's prisons and we see the faces and we sit in front of people in their huts and we're sharing the gospel, how much you just love them. And you share the gospel in anticipation of them trusting, because God does that. He's already made the way and opened their hearts and their minds to the gospel, and they trust, and their family. And so you just love them and you tell them, I can't wait to see you. You know, so what surprised me was actually what happened inside of me.
Scott, how about you?
This was, I think, my 9th time to go, and I shouldn't be surprised, but just what you were talking about, that God prepares the way and opens people's hearts to hear His truth, and He gives calmness that when we go to speak, I'm calm, I'm not nervous, I know the gospel, I know from our training the bad news, good news is in my head, it ain't going anywhere. And you just speak it, and God makes the way. He allows it, and it happens every time. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised every time. And it doesn't make sense. I should know. I should be ready. But it just surprises me, the depth of it, every time. Mm-hmm. This time, I think the thing was number of Muslims that trusted in Christ and seemed to be already there, like ready, and just speak the truth to them, and they're ready to trust. And we had one young man that he trusted in Christ, and then he walked ahead of my translator and I to take us through the paths in the towns into houses that were kind of a little bit out of the way, and he walked with us for a good hour after he trusted in Christ.
Kind of like blind Bartimaeus after he heard the gospel. He went right after Jesus.
It was just cool.
Keith, how about you?
Well, Scott, you stole my thunder a bit. being last, I guess I had no chance to surprise anybody. For me, going so many times, I mean, like Scott said, it's even when you get over there, there's a surprise. There's a shock for you of what the Lord has done through all the training, flights. I mean, we flew for a long time. And finally landing inside and being at the church plant, it was just incredible. You anticipate, you look forward to, but you just don't know till you get there and you get to see it for your own eyes. And to see that our team step up, growth, spiritual growth in every one of us, even those who have gone for years, how the Lord has changed us. And the first person that you share with alone out there, and you see them come out of darkness into a wonderful light, it's just precious. It really is.
Now, this next question is... in fact, it's going to be a couple of questions. These are real short answer questions. And the purpose for these questions is to alleviate any fears of people out here of going in the future, because people have different ideas of what it must be like going to Africa. So just a quick question. How was the food, Sam? Did you find yourself starving?
No, not at all. The food was really good.
Okay. Alyssa, how was the food for you? Okay.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was actually really, really good, and I was not scared to eat it.
Jeanette?
So much fresh fruit, and I think I gained weight on my trip, yeah.
The pineapple is incredible. You haven't had pineapple till you've had African pineapple. It's ripe. It's like candy.
The food is excellent.
Can't complain about the food at all, and I had plenty of Stony Tongawizis while I was there, which is ginger soda. So, yes, wonderful.
Food is always good, and I had some jackfruit for the first time. It was really good.
Here's what's interesting is that we tell them beforehand, bring snacks. Bring plenty of snacks. And then, you know, you have those in your backpack, you, just in case, you know, the food don't taste good and you want a tuna kit, whatever, trail mix or something. So at the end of the week, we gather those together, and we leave all of those. And it becomes a whole trash bag because nobody uses them. That's how good the food is. We get plenty.
This is a similar question. People might be concerned about going to a third world country and such. Did you ever feel we went into prisons, several prisons, minimum security. We even went to, I think, a maximum security prison. Did you ever feel out wandering, you know, you're out wandering through these paths out in the boonies from hut to hut. Did you ever feel unsafe, Sam, or did you always feel comfortable?
No, I felt really comfortable. I think going into the prisons, too, I just felt like seeing them. Someone asked me, am I overwhelmed or was I scared? And I just felt like these people needed to hear the gospel, and they're as much as a sinner as I am. And, I really like to share with them. And, no, I wasn't scared at all. It seemed safe. And Mama Ida and Pastor Morris really took good care of us.
Alyssa, how about you?
I didn't feel unsafe at all. I think kind of echoing what Sam said, like, I know Ida and Morris really did everything they could to make us feel safe. And just the fact that... I never really felt unsafe at all during the trip.
Even wandering out there through those little jungle-like areas, through cornfields or anything?
No. I know, like, my translator and, like, I know all of our translators, I know they knew the area and everything, and I didn't feel unsafe at all with them. And being, you know, wherever we were at, I didn't feel unsafe.
Jeanette, how about you?
Well, see, I had Sam and Scott protecting me at the prison, so I wasn't feeling unsafe at all. Well, they were minimum security. Pretty much you go in, and you have one puny guard with you, and then the whole place is swarming with prisoners just walking about, and then they set up chairs for us, and then they just come to listen. So that was the prison area, and there was you didn't feel unsafe at all. And then for the hut-to-hut, I had one female translator with me, and I argued with her about which direction to go, because I thought I knew my way. And she's like, no, we go this way. And I'm like, are you sure? It looks the same house. But they all look the same. So.
How about you, Brenda?
Well, for all you scaredy cats out there, I can speak for you. Anytime I go to hut or to the prisons, I wouldn't say I'm afraid, but I feel very uncomfortable. But, you know, driving to where we're going to be dropped up or hut or to the prisons, I'm just praying. It just, Lord, give me the strength. And then once I step out in faith, it's just, you know, all the fear is gone, the uncomfortable feeling is gone. And I will say in the prisons, it is a little uncomfortable when you go to a men's prisons, but when you sit up there and you see those men come in, your heart is just full of compassion for them, because you know that, you know, yes, they've sinned, but you've sinned too, and that they need to have a message of hope. So I will say, in those situations, God just comes, His Holy Spirit just fills you up with compassion because you have a message of hope.
I second that. I think for me, I can be timid sometimes or hold back or think I might not do something well, but God makes me bold there. When I go there and we go on the trail, I just want to go to everybody's hut and talk to them and can't wait to share. And here it's a bit harder. But even like going to a prison, went to two prisons, and my team was with Paul and some others. And we went to a men's prison and actually went and sat in the barracks where they sleep, and the men are all there. And you'd think I would be afraid, and I wasn't afraid a moment. And here, maybe I would be, but not there. All I could see was their faces and wanting to be able to share so they would have hope. And that's all I could think about. It's all I could do. I couldn't wait to tell them what God had done in my life and what He could do for them. And so He makes you just kind of get tunnel vision and want to share. That's all you want to do. And so He makes it so easy. It makes you have purpose. It's just a good thing.
I don't worry about it at all because Paul's on the trip. And Paul is the designated government official magnet. And so whenever we get pulled over or something, they always zero in on Paul. And I guess the rest of us just look innocent. So
we reach in our bag and look for a snack.
Yes, I'm very fearful. I'm fearful of when we get up in the school and they're out there dancing, and I don't have the rhythm. I'm scaredy cat to that. So.
Okay, question. Would you go on a future trip, Sam?
Yes, absolutely.
You would? Yes. And would you encourage other people to go?
Yes.
All right, no hesitation. Alyssa, how about you?
Yes, I would go. If I'm going to be honest, I know the first night we got there, I was really sick. The travel was long. I cried. I cried in the room, and I told Sam, like, Sam, what are we doing? And it kind of sunk in when we got there. But throughout the week, it's like Cindy. I talked to Cindy Mitchell, and she was saying for her first trip, it felt like God just carried her through the entire thing, and I felt so carried, and that He was just there, and that it was nothing I could do. Like, even Debbie Foster, I know, told me, like, you're kind of helpless when you get there, but God is our helper, and we just lean on Him the whole time. And so I would definitely go again.
And by the way, all these newbies, they did a fabulous job. The testimonies that they gave, I mean, they were good. Jeanette?
I would definitely go, and you guys should all go at least experience it just once to see how God moves in amazing ways.
Yeah,
Yes, I'm ready to go. And I would just encourage you just to think about it and to pray about it and to go. It is a wonderful experience.
Well, and I know Scott and I both had told Paul, can we stay longer next time? Because we would love that. And we're ready to go again. We're ready to go tomorrow.
I think no doubt we would go again. And I would encourage anyone, the slightest inkling that you feel like going, just start praying. God's going to make a way for you to go, and he's going to help you to go, and he's going to be with you while you're there. And we need some young blood to go and some youth to go, because the energy of the youth is amazing on a trip like this. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of people that are waiting to listen and to hear the truth come.
Yes, I'll go again. But just, I'm taking my wife this time. It was a struggle without her.
One last question, and I wanted to ask this earlier, and I know the answer for this for some of you, but of the three things we did hut-to-hut evangelism, we also went to the prisons, and we went to the schools. Now, of course, the schools was a real highlight because you're mobbed by kids, but quite frankly, at the crusade, it was the same way. We would be sitting at the pastor's house because there's a time frame after lunch till the crusade started at 4 o'clock that you had some downtime. And little kids would just mob the area around where we were at, and they would inch slowly, closer and closer, till they finally got right to the door, and even a couple brave ones would sneak inside. But the kids just love you to death. That's amazing, the response of the children. And besides the hut-to-hut and the prisons, as well as the schools, there was also a youth conference that a couple of you guys went to, I think. Sam and Alyssa, and then some folks from the other church. But of the things that you did, what was the thing that you liked the most? I mean, that you got the most pumped about?
I think going hut to hut, because people ask questions, and I got to answer. And just being, like, seeing their homes and just seeing their, like, just talking with them. And, yeah.
Hut to hut. How about you, Alyssa? Hut to hut?
It's also the same, hut to hut.
And I guess I could say crusades, too, because, you know, at the crusades, you spoke and did testimonies. I thought you guys did a fabulous job, but what did you like doing most?
It was hut to hut for me also. I think getting to, like, individually talk to everybody and share the gospel, and, like, once you see them trust in Christ, like, there's your reward. There's so much joy in it. You see someone come into the family and into the church body, and you're just, like, rejoicing with the angels in heaven. It was pretty great going hut to hut.
How about you, Jeanette? What was your favorite?
Yeah, I would have to say the hut to hut, even though I like speaking in mass groups and all that, but just talking one-on-one and answering their question and then seeing and praying with them to accept Christ, that was amazing. So.
And I want to say something here about Jeanette. Jeanette was probably the most outstanding person here as far as we could be at the airport, we could be at a restaurant, we could be at the hotel, but she was somebody that she's looking nonstop to share the gospel. She's obviously gifted in evangelism. And my wife, I think, did the same thing. In fact, you might want to share. I know that you shared with the person there at the hotel and saw them after you had shared with them a couple years ago, right?
What Dave is referring to is at the hotel 2 years, well, actually 3 years ago, we were in Uganda for a women's conference, and it was last, you know, we're about to leave, it was the last minute, and I just felt like I needed to share with the waiter there, so I did. He accepted Christ. Well, now let's just fast forward to this time. It's minutes before we're about to return back to America, and I see this waiter. And so I'm like, I need to share with him. So I said, hey, you know, do you know about Jesus? And he's like, yeah. He goes, in fact, like 3 years ago, I was in this hallway, and he pointed the exact spot where I had shared the gospel with him. And I'm like, I'm that woman. And he's like, oh, my gosh. So we just really hugged each other. And he's growing in his faith. So you think, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not really doing much, but God is using you in a mighty way. I will say for me, what I enjoyed most about this trip was going to the prisons. And the reason why is because you go in there, and it looks so hopeless and sad. And they come in, and they have their heads down. But when you leave, their heads are up. because of the message they've heard about God, and that God loves them and that he forgives them, and that you can have joy no matter what situation you're in. And I was just overwhelmed by the women's prison. When the women came in, their heads were down, but when we left, their heads were up, and they just rejoiced in the Lord. And I just realized, you know, God is true to his promises. He's close to the brokenhearted. He, you know, gives you joy when that's, you know, in a situation you think's not possible. So for me, prisons was the highlight for me, and just in God being true to his word.
Pam, what was your favorite?
Well, I agree with Brenda. For me, I was the same going to prisons, first a women's prison and then a men's prison. And just going into the women's prison, and some of those women led worship in that prison that we spoke to, like 100 ladies, and dancing and worshiping God together in that group, and being able to give our testimonies, God used our stories. He allowed us to teach a lesson, so we did the woman at the well, and just how they need that living water. It was just so powerful in a way I hadn't really experienced before. So that was really a powerful thing. I will say, though, the children were amazing. And Jeanette and Brenda and I taught the kids, and, man, we had so many kids. And just, they were just eating up the word and just so much singing and worshiping together. And just, it was just such an opportunity. And so we did get to share the gospel at completely on the very last day, and just what a wonderful watching those children and seeing some of them come to faith and just learning the word and about Christ and knowing that their parents were learning was just so exciting.
Scott?
I think this is the first trip where I don't have a favorite. I think that I enjoyed the experience at the prison. I got to share the gospel there. We went to schools 2 days, so we went to a total of 7 schools, and it was just pretty awesome at each one. There was something different at each one that made it special, and then, of course, going hut to hut, when you share personally with somebody and they trust in Christ, and you see the transition. And I think that's the awesome thing about this trip, is you see the power of God. You see when the truth is shared and is trusted, and you see the peace and the love. You just see the power of God in all three of those ministries, and it's incredible.
Keith.
So the highlight for me was that when we went to prisons, they marched us in a little house, really, I guess is what you would call it, open air. The windows were, you know, there was no windows. And so we sat there for about 10 minutes or something like that, and finally we see the inmates marching along in a straight line toward us. And at that point, and I told them this, that you know, I did have fear. At fear as they were walking in. So they marched them all in, and as Brenda said, they were all had their heads down. And we shared our testimonies. Then I was able to get up and preach. And so at the end of the bad news, good news, I saw one inmate as a tear would flow down his eyes. And so it's very difficult, because in some ways they don't show sometimes emotion, so it's very difficult for you to gauge where their heart is. But there was this one young man as I sat there, and it's just precious to me. So it was very, very nice.
Well, let's give everybody a hand. Keith's going to come up here at this time and share just a couple things, and the rest of us, you can all return to your seats. And while they're all sitting down, just a quick reminder, if you're a dad here, make sure you get your chocolate bar on the way out. And kids, make sure you let dad eat the chocolate bar. And then we're going to have some time before the baptism starts. We got extra food, so make sure and go over and enjoy the air conditioning and some food before we go out back for the baptism at 10:10, all right?
So trip results. So as Paul had communicated to you earlier, we wanted to do four different things. We wanted to finish our church plan in Bunanimi. We accomplished that. Dave did a wonderful job at the sermon there, at the dedication sermon. Pastor had already been planted for a couple of years, so it was encouraging to see him and his wife just moving in the community. And so as Precious Paul taught men's, and I forget who taught women's, Brenda taught women's there, and we had children's ministry too. It was just a full-on dedication. So we had that. And that is after flying for 2 days, driving for 7 or 8 hours across country. We were exhausted at this point, but the Lord did a wonderful work there at that church. And it was encouraging to see that even though we're not there, even though we weren't able to be there to evangelize the community, that church is thriving, that church is moving, that pastor is growing his congregation, and it was very encouraging. Then, of course, as we worked through the week, we started our Oburagan church plant. So we evangelized that community every day. Even on Saturday, we didn't, because we went to the youth conference, or we were able to go to LaWanda's children's home, the tree farm, which was a long ways out. That was very nice, Paul, for dragging us out there. And we went to, yeah, that was fun. So it's funny, we went to the Bunanimi church plant that first Sunday, and the water well wasn't drilled. So we went back that next Saturday. It was also the thing that we as men got to go back and look, and the water well was drilled. They had their cement foundation around it, and it was a pump. You saw Scott maybe in the video. He was pumping that water. It was really awesome to see 1 week of transformation, because that water well will bring life to that community. And that pastor, he has control of that water well, and he shares it with the community. He doesn't charge them for the water. It is life-giving, along with the gospel that he's sharing out there. So, and then we completed the youth conference. They were able to go to that, and that was tremendous. All the kids, as we were going to schools, the older youth, when we would visit those during the week, we would invite them to that youth conference. And I don't know, Sam, listen, how many did you have there? Yeah, 300 youth there, as they shared and encouraged them, split the boys and girls up, and were able to, you know, just talk to them each in their own setting. It was wonderful. Let's go on to the next slide. So here's some numbers. We had a team of 15 is what it was when we went over. We shared the gospel in about 275 homes, in 15 schools, 5 prisons, and shared the gospel in many other places, as Dave even talked about it. Hotels, restaurants, and the airplanes, in the airports. I mean, he is so right about Jeanette. I mean, she motivated us. You know, some of us that have been a while, we relax at that time. But she's there, and so, well, if she's going to do it, then I got to do it. In the hotel, we'd be scattered just talking to people, hotel staff or people that were there. And it was very incredible. And then here's a number that we hold on to very loosely, but we hold on to the Lord very tightly, because in this book, he says, if you confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Well, they confessed with their mouth, and that's what we take, and we hold on to the Lord very tightly with that, and that's about an estimated 1,000 people trusted Christ as their Savior. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And before I go any further, first of all, I want to, as a team, if you would help us right now, give our leader a hand. He was incredible. Paul, thank you so much. Amen. Amen to that team. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to gauge what the Lord did. You hear the stories, but it's hard to gauge what the Lord did in all of it. It is amazing. I mean, Dave talked about how one person would come in, or another person, you'd be sharing with someone, and 10 people would show up. At the schools, you would be sharing with a couple hundred kids, and then more would come in. And at the prisons, it was just incredible. It's hard to give you a gauge. It's very difficult for us to translate to you, if you will, the emotions that goes on, what you see the Lord do in your heart. I mean, they speak confidently up here, but there was apprehension on all of our parts about that first hut, that first time we want to share, we need to share a devotion with the team, that we things we've never done before. That first time you're up on the stage sharing your testimony, and there's hundreds upon hundreds of villagers out there waiting to hear you, and you want to speak powerfully, you want to speak what the Lord has done in your heart through your testimony, and so there's apprehensions, there's nervousness, and when you go up there with that apprehension, with that nervousness, it's difficult to get the words out, but you come away from it, both preaching, devotions, testimonies, seeing that the Lord has worked through you, given you a boldness, a courage to do something that really we're not equipped to do. It really happens. And to see, we talked about the youth going in, but Greg, of us older people listen, Greg is over 70 years old. And he, in fact, his insurance cost a bit more because he was over 70 years old. But he made it through wonderfully. The Lord worked tremendously in this. This is open for all of us. It really is. It really is open for everyone. We desire that you come. The Lord calls you. You may be seeking, well, the Lord may not call me. I know we have different seasons in our life that maybe right now may not be the right time. But the Lord calls all of us to the mission field. He says, go therefore and make disciples. He doesn't ask us. He tells us, go therefore. So go, therefore. Ida gave me specific instructions. All of us specific. She told us over and over and over again, you go back and you tell them they are welcome. Go and bring more. We want them to come. We have, she says, the fields are ripe for the harvest. And they're ripe. The Lord has prepared a place. And so, lastly, I want to thank you, our congregation, because you commissioned us a week before we left. You laid your hands on us. Maybe not some of you, but spiritually, we know that you laid your hands on us. And we could not have done it without you. Every cent that you give in giving here, a portion of it goes to the East Africa Missions, but all of you also gave, many of you gave extra for our team. Our team could not go without this. The church could not be planted. The water well could not be built. The hotels that we stay in that have AC, by the way, that's another promo, another marketing device. You got AC in your room. And you really didn't need it because it was 60 or 70 degrees outside. But thank you. Thank you. Your reward is great in heaven. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. We could not go had you not sent us, had you not supported us, had you not prayed for us. We felt the prayers. It was precious. It was wonderful. Lives were changed over there. Many more than what you see 1,000. There's just many more lives that were changed as a result of weak, feeble, frail, untalented, just a band of misfits that go over there. Because you have prayed for us and marched us along. So thank you for that. Let me close in prayer, and we'll have a time of baptism, which is even more victorious. I mean, even victorious too. So let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for allowing us to share with our brothers and sisters. It means so much to us, Lord. We desire to communicate what you did through us. And, Father, even our words seem weak, but I know your spirit is strong and will communicate it, Lord. We thank you for the lives that were saved, the lives, as I said, Lord, that came out of darkness into such a wonderful light. Marriages that were changed, children that were strengthened and saw the goodness of your gospel, women that, Father, that had lost their husbands previously. Father, so many things we saw that it's so difficult to communicate those things, Lord. But Father, we know that you did a good work, and we are so thankful. Father, we are thankful for this congregation, how they've stood behind us. Lord, we desire that they go. And Father, would you lay on their hearts, Lord, if you would want them to go on a trip like this. Lord, your kingdom was expanded. You spoke through us. The reward is great in heaven, Lord, but more importantly, Lord, your kingdom was expanded. And one day, Father, all of us, even though some of our brothers and sisters here did not get to meet the Elizabeth or the Simon, Father, they will see them and they will know, Father, that their reward is great in heaven. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Spirit. Touch us. We pray for the baptism, Lord. We thank you for just this time we get to see even people's lives change today, Lord. May we be strengthened by it as we see this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Skips across the desert.